Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Hey, Brad, do we have any follow-up this week?
What? Follow-up? No, we don't do follow-up. We had it. We had so much follow-up last week, but yes, we still have follow-up this week. Because we will always have follow-up. And follow-up will start taking up all of our show, and then we'll have the follow-up show, the actual show, and the fun facts show. You know, at some point, at some point that split's going to happen. But
every day of the week.
Let's try not to make it this week. Let's see if we can make it through the follow-up and on to actual topics, okay?
Okay.
So first follow-up is that apparently we cannot get enough of talking Mission Space, right? So we talked about it 2 weeks ago in our two-hour mega episode, whatever we decided to call that finally. We talked about it last week in follow-up with the whole will it or won't it actually open in August. And now this week, we have an actual date from Disney. So Disney has said it will definitely open on August 13th.
So the calendar was wrong.
Yes. So the calendar was wrong. Everything matches with what D23 said. And Brad is happy once more.
Yeah.
You should be even happier because according to you, they have now over-delivered. And well, so you should feel super happy. I just feel, okay, they met the deadline they set.
Yes. So they definitely met the time frame that they should have, because getting up on stage and saying August and then, you know, ending up going with a calendar that says October is bad business. And so I think they, you know, it's not surprising that it's opening in August, because it makes a lot more sense to me that a calendar would be wrong instead of
an announcement that you did on the big stage in front of everybody.
Imagineering going up and saying it's in August. So this is not surprising to me at all, but I'm happy about it. And well, yeah, I do. I feel like in that context, if someone said, oh, it's not going to be open until October, now they're like, oh, great, it's open next month.
And it happens to be open on the same day that everything else closes. So, hey, win-win. That I somewhat wonder if that maybe wasn't part of it. They're like, we can't have Universe of Energy and Mission Space be down.
Right.
So that the only thing on this side is going to be Test Track. So, yeah, let's make sure Mission Space meets that that whole August 13th timeline thing. And we did get a little bit more information in the Disney press release / blog post. They have said that Orange Mission gets enhanced new HD video to make it even clearer,
good.
Which I think is good. Again, I hope that it is more than that. I hope that everything got a nice refurb. Some of the screens that were horribly burned in, because I don't know if you remember, but in that little pre-show area where, you know, Uncle Gary comes out and talks to you. And
Uncle Gary and his wig.
If you looked at the screens, they had gotten to the point where you could always see like the little rocket that they used after the video got done, but before they would actually bring you in, you know, rows one and row five. Like that rocket was permanently burned in on the screen. So hopefully all of that stuff has been replaced as well. But yes, we do know that new HD video, and then again, Green Mission is being updated to be an exciting orbit around the Earth, where you'll take in sights like the Hawaiian Islands, Italy's Boot, and the Northern Lights, as seen from space, of course, before finally landing at Kennedy Space Center in Florida. So this is soaring through space.
What a weird set of things to highlight. Italy's Boot, Hawaiian Islands. I don't know. That's just a weird set of things to highlight. But I guess if you're in space, you're limited to things that can be seen from space.
Yes, they can't really point out there's Epcot that you're going over right now,
right?
Because that you're not going to see that,
right? And I think it'll be a lot of fun to do that in the actual like simulator, you know, seats that move. They don't spin, but they do move up and down and side to side and stuff. So I think that'll be good. I hope that they can include some lateral movement, that they can figure out a way to do that, not necessarily spinning to simulate G's necessarily, but some sort of lateral movement to make, you know, just a little more of an in-depth experience, like coming into the atmosphere and landing on the runway and stuff, I think that that could be cool. I've never done green, so I don't know if they even move at all, if they do any of that lateral movement on the old green mission.
Yeah, we'll see what actually comes of it. But again, I think it's good that they are doing something that's actually meant for this. As we've talked about at least twice now, so one more time, we think that it's good, and it will be a bit more family friendly. They have said that they are creating X2 booster seats, which will allow children of heights 40 to 44 inches to also ride now. So green mission, kids 40 to 44 inches can ride with the use of a booster seat.
An X2 booster.
That's right, because you're riding in an X2 rocket, so you got to have an X2 brand booster seat to make that work. Now, I have seen, this was not in the announcement, but it's rumored and it sounds plausible to me that they may be changing the names of the two missions. So instead of when you come up going for orange or green, you'll be going to Earth or Mars.
Hmm.
Which, now that there is a differentiation in the location, I could see doing that, you know, along with some sort of a warning that Mars is a much more extreme attraction than the Earth attraction would be. But in reality, orange and green, I mean, it somewhat makes sense because of colors. And we do associate orange with more active than green. But if I just said, hey, Jeremy, do you want to ride the orange ride or the green ride? And that's all that I said. You would have no clue that I was talking about. One's a lot more. I have to lay that out for you anyway. So why not call it Mars and Earth? So that way the next time you go, you can go, oh, yeah, because I went to Mars and therefore I want to ride the Mars one.
Well, and do you think that they're going to still have a cast member out there with cards, you know, little whatever they, I can't remember what they had, but little like laminated cards with the color and mission that you want to go on so that you can have someone explain it to you still?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think there will be a cast member out there.
I do too.
Who will always be available to explain it and will probably even, you know, at times stop you if they like, maybe you want to go Earth. So let me just explain to you what Mars is.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to tell you to go Earth, but I'm going to explain to you what all Mars entails before you make the decision to go Mars. Now, I do find it interesting that fast passes have opened back up for this attraction for August 13th. So you can get a fast pass now. Mm-hmm. And the fast passes do not differentiate based on which one you're doing. So a fast pass is a fast pass is a fast pass, whether you're riding Mars or Earth.
Well, yeah, but that makes sense because of the reason that cast member has always been there. It's because people aren't going to know before they actually arrive at the attraction. And so they need to talk to that cast member first and see which mission that they want to go on.
Valid point. So, yes, we now know it's going to be opening August 13th. We know a little bit more about what parts of Earth you're going to see. We've heard about X2 booster seats. And hopefully, we won't talk any more about Mission Space next week. Hopefully, this can now be cleared from follow-up until August 13th when it launches, and we can talk about that. So next in follow-up...
When it launches.
Hey, I try to make it work for you people.
The puns are back.
That's right. Blog Mickey did a ride-through on the... So essentially, the mini E-vans are currently in... All you're doing is making me want to say it more. They are currently in a soft opening right now, so the official launch of the service was actually yesterday, but when they did their ride through, which was the 18th, actually, so we could have even talked about this part last week, but we didn't have it, so we can talk about it now. Among the other questions they asked the cast member, they brought up specifically tipping, which we spent an inordinate amount of time talking about on our previous episode. And guess what? Cast members are not allowed to accept tips. That is what Blog Mickey says. So
that's, yeah, totally makes sense.
If you don't want to deal, if you were like me and you always go, I don't know how much to tip it. Like, I know how much to tip at a restaurant. Outside of a restaurant, I have to Google what I need to tip.
Yeah.
I cut my own hair because I just have a buzz cut. So if I have to go to a barber, I'm going to have to Google that. If I'm on an Uber or a Lyft, I'm going to have to Google that. Like, I have no clue what to tip anywhere. So if you are like me and you'd like to save yourself the frustration of trying to figure that out, just call the mini e-van and it will come and pick you up. It will charge you $20 and that will be the end of it.
Yeah, I think that makes total sense, especially since it's a flat $20 and the driver is going to get paid the same amount for every ride. I think that makes total sense, and that's how it should be. There shouldn't be the burden of tipping as a Disney, you know, transportation service.
Yeah, and now I do find it interesting. Blog Mickey does not talk about it, but I've seen some other people talking about the existence of an app for using this service, but there apparently is some uncertainty whether or not that's going to be part of the My Disney Experience app or if it's going to be an entirely separate app, which I would think definitely My Disney Experience.
Yeah, it would be bad if it was a separate app.
But we really don't know anything until it actually shows up somewhere. And again, even though it has launched as of today or as of yesterday, actually, I have heard nothing about that part of it being launched. So we will see where that comes up. Blog Monkey did also bring up some more interesting points. Essentially, if you're a parent, this is great because they have car seats available in the mini e-vans.
Oh, cool.
And those are included with your purchase. So if you do Uber, you actually have to pay more to get an Uber with a car seat. And that is not the case with these. So that's an advantage for using these. And then also, so I'm going to say that this was not my experience with Uber, but according to Blog Mickey, if you are using Uber, other services, so Uber, Lyft, things like that, are required to drop you off at the main lobby. My experience was my Uber driver dropped me off at the sidewalk came and picked me up at the sidewalk closest to my resort over at Port Orleans Riverside, which, you know, they're talking about with the campus style buildings, that's an advantage for the mini e-vans because they can pick you up and drop you off closer to your room than what Uber can. I don't really know how they police that per se, but
yeah.
Anyway, that is another advantage they say exists. And now they can drop you off at the Magic Kingdom at actually one of the bus stops, so you don't have to go to the TTC. And short of, I guess you could have yourself dropped off at Contemporary with your Uber. But yeah, there's a lot of weirdness there. Mini e-vans just seem like they could definitely be easier if you need that point-to-point transportation while you're at the parks.
Yeah, I think the word requirement in that Uber thing should be in quotes, because that's basically, does the driver want to follow the rules?
Or does the driver want a tip?
Right, exactly. Exactly.
And they allow tipping, so guess what? They want their tip. So, but yes, we now know tipping, not a thing with the mini e-vans. They officially launched apparently yesterday, and I look forward to many. I may try to put this in the follow-up on a weekly basis just so I can say mini e-vans for you, Jeremy.
Thanks, bud.
You're welcome. And to finish up our follow-up,
I'm really looking forward to this.
I did actually go and watch more of the new... So for those of you who did not... For those of you who gave up at some point in that two-hour mega extravaganza episode... When we talked about the new change to the Great Movie Ride, where it's now, what are they calling it? Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway or something like that?
Yep. Yeah, okay. You got it.
Sweet. I can't believe I actually remembered that. but it is in the new style of the Mickey and Minnie cartoons.
The Ren and Stimpy style, as yes. You so lovingly referred to
yes.
it.
Yes. I just call it like I see it, okay? though, you know... What, just in the past few weeks, they had a trailer come out for the new Rocko's Modern Life.
Yeah.
And I would say just as much that art style, maybe somewhere between those two, because I don't think it's as outlandish as what Ren and Stimpy gets sometimes. But it's not a, but it's a little bit further along than what Rocko's Modern Life did at times right. as well.
So I think as a short digression, I think we can say that that art style that Ren and Stimpy had was a little ahead of its time. And I do not like Ren and Stimpy. I don't find it funny at all. I will say that. But that art style was a little ahead of its time because that art style, that type of humor is back in shows like Rick and Morty and Adventure Time. And you have all these cartoons that have this weird sense of humor to them. And I think, you know, Ren and Stimpy was relatively unsuccessful. And I wonder if it would be more successful now. Because that sort of animation and sense of humor is more mainstream.
Yes, and I think, and to your point, I think that's why the Mickey and Minnie cartoons are what they are now, because they are designed for this, the current culture, not the culture of, 70s, 80s, whatever.
Right.
Depending on which Mickey, you know, which cartoon you want to pick, whatever that was at that point. So I do understand the remake. And I will say that after watching more of them, so I went specifically and watched Potato Land because you had said you should go watch Potato Land.
Right.
And I will have a link in the show notes to that. And you know what? You, the listener, if you haven't seen Potato Land and maybe you're sitting there going, Brad, how have you not, how did you not see Potato Land till just, well, I didn't. But if you haven't seen it, you should probably go and give it a watch too. I did enjoy that one a lot more than some of, and again, I think they're definitely hot and cold. But I will also say that what I enjoy about Potato Land and what I've enjoyed more about some of these that I've watched since then has been less about the actual cartoon and more about the gags that involve the parks and, you know, just the Easter egg type stuff that comes up.
There are so many throwaway jokes that are inside, and like Potato Land is kind of a riff on Disneyland. I don't want to spoil it. I mean, it's a five minute cartoon to go watch.
Yeah, if you talk about it very long, you're definitely gonna I think you could explain it in depth, and somebody would still get something out of watching it. But yeah, so you know, things like the Haunted Mansion throwaway gag or the great moments with Mr. Lincoln throwaway right. gag there. You know, and again. Not that it's not funny on its own, but it's a lot, to me, it's a lot more funny if you get what they're kind of referencing there or, you know, whatever the Hawaiian one, you know, there was a part there. So a random part during a going to a bunch of different places sequence, right? And the music started. Yes, a montage. There you go. Those are the words that I look for. There was a music cue there that was driving me up a wall because I'm like, that music sounds so familiar, but it's not. So the tune is the same. The instruments are different. But I know that tune from somewhere. And so, you know, of course, I pull out my phone and I Shazam it. And Shazam knows nothing about it. And so I use some other app and some other app knows nothing about it. And finally, I turned to the internet because I'm like, surely I'm not the first person to think this about this song. And fortunately, there is, you know, some wiki that is devoted to the shorts. And they said, hey, that is the Hawaiian war chant, as also heard in the Tiki Room. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's totally what that is. And that's, you know, and that's why I noticed it, because it was from the Tiki Room. And again, I don't know. I mean, Hawaiian war chant, I don't think is specific to the Tiki Room. So maybe they just picked that because they thought it sounded good. But in my mind, they picked it because it had an association to the Tiki Room. Or, you know, there's the canned short where Mickey's digging through the garbage and he's pulling out random Disney memorabilia out of the garbage. And again, all of these just throwaway gags that I find. Yeah, I definitely found them much more humorous. I think part of my issue with it is just Mickey is perhaps a little bit less, I hate saying this because it's going to sound like I'm going way further than what I'm actually going, but Mickey's not quite as wholesome as he was in some of the other cartoons. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying that like Mickey is out there, committing unspeakable acts or anything like that.
Right.
But Mickey was kind of always the all-around good guy, and anything that happened, right, you know, that's what Donald existed for. That's what Goofy existed for, were to be those foils when Mickey, so that Mickey could play the all-around, always just the good guy thing. And I don't think that he's like way far away from that now, but maybe a little bit more so.
No, I see what you're saying. I understand. There are times when he gets mad or gets annoyed, and those are emotions that I don't think Mickey Mouse really has a whole lot of experience with in the past.
Right, and that's the creators have made a decision to go that way, and that's cool. I understand that stuff needs to evolve, but I think that is what, I think I've tracked that down to number one, Ren and Stimpy was always I was never really a fan of it, so that art style takes a little bit. Mickey, the change in his demeanor a little bit. But overall, I watched many episodes. I will watch them again, and I definitely find them more enjoyable now. So I guess I just need to give them a chance, and now I will try Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway.
Did you watch Cable Car Chaos? In San Francisco?
Did not get to watch Cable Car Chaos.
Dang.
That's my favorite.
I'll watch that, and then we can do more follow-up.
We can
on
follow
that
up
next...
on this follow-up.
Yes, because it can be follow-up. Now that we are over two-thirds of the way through our show.
We're getting close to the end. We got to have a real topic.
Yes. Let's get at least one real topic in here. And let's go for... I want to go for the one real topic that is based on this rumor, where this came from. Wow. Okay, so WWNT has a rumor, Lights of Wonder returning to Epcot for holidays around the world. So Lights of Wonder was a, or excuse me, Lights of Winter. Did I say Wonder? No, I said Winter. I said Winter every time, and Jeremy's going to go back and make it sound like I said Winter every time.
Just give me one clean Winter.
Winter.
There you go.
There we go. So Lights of Winter was essentially arches that existed along the, so you know you have the bridge between Future World and the Showcase Lagoon?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that bridge, they had these arches that were all the way down the bridge, and they were synchronized to the music. So think Osborne Lights, but apparently this was actually pre-Osborne Lights being synced to music. These were already synced to music. And then they were removed. The arches were last up, I think, in 2009, according to WWNT. And since then, we haven't seen anything there, right?
Right.
So the rumor is that these could be returning. The way that we get to this rumor is that the Christmas in July thing happened at Disney Springs, I think, this past week. And Disney showed off a lot of the stuff for the upcoming season. And among the things they showed off was a new Holidays Around the World 2017 pin for Epcot that has Mickey and Minnie on the front of it. And it opens up and has a Christmas tree inside of it. And the background for Mickey and Minnie and the background for the Christmas tree is one of these arches. And they are right. Yeah, it definitely looks like one of the arches from the Lights of Winter. And thus we hit the rumor, Lights of Winter could possibly be returning because it's on this pin, so it seems possible.
That's a stretch.
So based on that stretch rumor, Lights of Winter could be returning to Epcot. What you think, Jeremy?
I love this last line of this article. So it's very interesting that there's a pin being made for Holidays Around the World 2017 that features the long-lost Lights of Winter from Epcot's past. That is a lot of words that have no basis in reality, because these are just arches. Like, I don't buy this for a second. I will say this. I do not think that this pin is Disney, like, you know, hint, hint, nudge, nudge, everybody read the tea leaves and you'll see that we're bringing this back. I don't buy that for a second. I think that they did this because it looks pretty and it sets the tree off of the background and it sets Minnie and Mickey off of the background, and that's it.
And if you knew about the existence of the Lights of Winter, it would be a nice little nod to something that used to exist at Epcot. So I kind of go with what you're saying, but I really want it to be true. Because I guess I've never seen the Lights of Winter. I know that I've been going to Disney long, you know, before 2009.
Right.
But I guess I'd never went during the holiday season because I don't remember ever seeing these arches.
Yeah.
And I really would like to see these arches because I like Christmas lights. So I want it to be true, but yeah.
This just reminds me of like how people look at Apple invitations to events. You know, you get in there and you're like, what colors did they use? What does this sentence mean? What does all this mean? And like, it's, you know, sometimes there's hidden meaning. Like when the Beatles came to iTunes and stuff, the clocks were in the same, you know, positions as the Beatles were. And so there is, you know, sometimes some hidden meaning. But man, this just feels like a leap that Evel Knievel couldn't even make.
So if Lights of Winter, wait, Jeremy said it doesn't seem likely. So there you go. Lights of Winter definitely coming to Epcot.
Absolutely.
This holiday season.
100% confirmed.
That's right. Because if Jeremy doesn't think it's going to happen, you know it's going to happen. And real quick, because we're talking about the rumors, and we're talking about Christmas rumors, we're talking about stuff from the Christmas in July, and no, I do not have a link to this for your show notes because I just saw this reported in a couple of different places. Among the things Disney announced, two holiday shows that were going to be happening over at Disney's Hollywood Studios, but no more information other than they were going to be having two holiday shows over at Disney's Hollywood Studios.
Be careful, buddy. Don't get your hopes up.
Don't crush my dreams, man, because we know that some of the buildings have been saved as part of the Grand Avenue, which, you know what, Grand Avenue will have to be saved for next episode. And now that can be follow-up, so it can definitely make it into next episode. But essentially, we know that there is an area that they could do a very much reduced, but they could still have some dancing lights at Hollywood Studios. And we know that there's going to be two things, and they haven't told us what they are yet. And yes, it probably will be Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam, and Beauty and the Beast Christmas.
You cannot say Mini E-Vans and get away with just that lazy Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam.
Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam!
There you go.
That's what you wanted to hear. yeah, it'll probably be something like that, or, you know, Indy Saves Christmas, which I would also love to see. You know what, Disney?
Is that a holiday overlay of Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular?
Absolutely. Indy Saves Christmas, you know? And they can even like paint the big rock to be like, no. I was thinking like a big Santa. Santa comes rolling down after
a
Indy.
Santa ball?
Yeah. Yeah. So barring something like that, we do know there's some things coming. We do know there are some buildings there. So I'm not saying it's possible. But if we're going to buy that Lights of Winter could be coming back because of a pin, I think that mine should be labeled as at least plausible. Maybe not confirmed, but at least plausible. And next week, we can now talk about the Grand Avenue because it will be on our follow-up.
Protect your heart, buddy. That's all I got to say. I think that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. And you can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.